Okay, let me bring you greetings from Emmanuel Baptist. We had our anniversary today, and so Emmanuel has been going for 45 years, so it's a reasonable length of time. We had a luncheon, and we had just a whole bunch of tables around, and it was a good time, so we enjoyed that together. Let's just have a word of prayer before I speak. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the privilege of being able to meet together to worship you. We thank you for the songs that we have been singing that have pointed us very much to our Saviour. And we thank you for him and for his death on Calvary. Father, we pray for this time, this evening, we pray the Holy Spirit might be the one that would now take control of the things I would say. And Lord, that he would touch our hearts, and from these words that there may be things that we would take away and apply in our lives regarding prayer. So Father, bless us each one. If there, Father, is someone here who knows not the Saviour, we pray too that there might be that opportunity to maybe talk with that one tonight. But Father, bless this time, we pray, in and through Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I guess one of the things that last time I was here, I walked along that side very much. I'll start this side. It's all right, I like to walk when I speak. But one of the things that I guess your pastor, Wayne Rebilli, had asked me if I would do. So you're going to have me a third time yet, so if it's tough tonight, there you go. But next time, it's all on prayer. So last week was on prayer, this week's on prayer, and guess what? The next one's on prayer as well. But the thing that I personally, I've been challenged as I've been studying prayer and looking in the Old and New Testament, and just studying and also reflecting on how much time I spend in prayer. And the thing that I know, and David sort of was bringing it out as well, is that we as Christians, our example is the Lord Jesus, and it's him that we want to be like. It is his character that we want to be like. It is as the Holy Spirit would work in us, that we would be a praying church. We would be individuals who would long just to spend that time in prayer. The reading tonight in Genesis, where we see, I believe the Lord Jesus that came and met with Abraham and Sarah. And so the things that were very obvious there was firstly that Abraham and Sarah were well past the age of being able to bear children. And yet God had promised that Sarah would have a child, and that child would be a son, because Abraham was promised that. And I sort of had a little bit of a laugh, not quite like Sarah, I guess, but when I saw him, Abraham said, I just want to get some water and some bread for you to eat, and I'll bring it to you soon. But then he went and got a calf from the herd and prepared it. How long would it take to prepare a calf? There's no microwaves or ovens back then. It was all wood. But anyway, I just thought about that. It was just something that passed through my mind. But the thing I wanted to bring out, and it's an overriding thought that has been overriding in my mind, and I've been praying that way, is that as Abraham and Sarah were being spoken to, the thing that was said to them was this, that nothing is too hard for me. There are no obstacles that we can bring that God cannot answer for us. It is a matter of us having faith, and I guess having the, having enough, the word's not coming to me, having a desire that is a strong desire to be able to present whatever before our God. And we can do that. And we can bear in mind that Jesus himself in this situation said, nothing is too hard for me. And I've been praying that way this week. and I might share some things, but we'll see how we go. An American missionary, so this was early days in America, was talking to an Indian. And the Indian was struggling in his Christian life. Now, you may have heard this story before, but you'll hear it again. And he was struggling in his life. And the missionary said, what's the struggle? And he said, it's like I have two dogs inside of me. One is a black dog and one is a white dog. And he said, so what happens with the struggle? Who wins? And he said, it depends on the one I feed the most. The black dog represented the bad or the evil in his life. The white dog represented the good things. And so I guess the challenge tonight is that tonight we are either one of two things. We either are fleshly and we lean towards the things of the world, or we are spiritual and we will lean towards spiritual things, wanting to please our Savior and to be like Him. So the question is, which one do we feed the most? Which one do we have the time for? And so I'm looking obviously tonight at prayer. How much time do we have to give to prayer? One of the things that takes place is that our lives today are so busy. There is so much that we're involved in. And in that busyness, whether it be work, whether it be family, whatever the challenges might be, is do we find that time to spend in the presence of our Savior and to spend that time in prayer? And if we don't find that time, let me say that we then are leaning towards being more like the world, which the scripture talks about either being carnal or being fleshly, which is what we're going to read. So if we're going to have a look at a few scriptures in Romans 8, and we'll jump around a little bit, mainly Romans 8. So Romans 8 says this, and this is the answer. So as tough as it is, if we're not praying, because the Holy Spirit, and we will see that, is the one that generates within us a desire to pray. And if we are not praying, it is because that desire is not there. The desire is more to do those things that are closer to what we enjoy. Maybe if we get so tired that we can't have a time in the Word, but we can watch a TV program and become all alert. Romans 8 and chapter 5 and Romans 8 and verses 5 through 7. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the thing of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, or opposition, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So prayer is then very clearly defined as being an act of a spiritual person. If you are a person who prays and prays regularly and desires to pray, and the Holy Spirit brings to mind that desire, then you are a spiritual person. But if you have no desire to pray, as tough as the words might be, then it is that we are probably living more a fleshly existence. Sometimes prayer is something that is offered by people who are on their deathbed, trusting that God in their last moments might save them. And God can. Or it can be for people who are in trouble and they're looking like they're not going to survive. Guess what? The people who are atheists suddenly pray, and they pray to a God that might save them. But the Holy Spirit, He is the one who activates or generates in us a desire to pray. He is the one that causes us to pray. Let's have a look also, if you're still in Romans 8, in Romans 8 and verse 15. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba Father." If we have now the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and we do if we are Christian, there is within us then that tenderness to desire to want to speak to our Heavenly Father. And it is the privilege that we have. So Abba Father, I've heard it defined many ways, but my understanding is it's like saying Daddy. It's a very personal thing. And we have that relationship with God, and we have that privilege to be able to speak to Him as our Heavenly Father. But unfortunately, it's something that not all Christians take opportunity with. One of the things that I look at as well, that I'm not a golfer, by the way. I play golf. If people ask me to come and play, I play. But I'm not very good. My swing is just not right. I might get it right, but it's getting late in the day for me getting my swing right. But you know, what would be interesting is if I was to be able to get a capsule with either Adam Scott or someone like that, or Tiger Woods, and swallow the capsule, and then now I have Tiger Woods inside of me, and I step up to the tee, and they say, "Oh, you've got to be kidding, here comes Rex, you know, he can't play." And I get up there and then, whooshka, right down the middle of the fairway. And the difference now is what is inside of me, what is happening. I have Tiger Woods. But it's the same principle. We have the Holy Spirit within us now. And that Holy Spirit is that one that engenders within us the desire to pray. But we now have that privilege of prayer. So Galatians 4 and verse 6, and if we like to turn there. It says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father." And sorry, I should have done it the other way, but back in Romans 8 and verse 5, it says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So when we pray, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, prays with us and through us, and He comes alongside of us. One of the things that I want to look at tonight, and we will get there in a moment, is looking at what is sort of the logistics, if you like, of prayer. When I pray, what actually happens? What's taking place? And one of the things that's taking place is that the Holy Spirit is engendering that desire to pray. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who indwells us. In Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." So as Christians, we actually are under new management. And on that basis, we need to be receptive to the one who now has control of us. That new management is spoken about in 1 Corinthians 6 and just verses 19 through 20. It says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So it would seem that I am laboring the point, but the thing that now takes place, we are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. one of two things will happen. We will choose to pray or we won't. It's very simple. But God will bless us, and the closer we come to him, the more Christ-like we are going to be. And David was talking about, as a church, being out there in society and sharing your faith. If we spend time in the presence of Jesus and in prayer, then that is going to be something that people will see in us, and that will be reflected in the way we live and the way that we speak. In the beginning, or just a moment ago, I spoke about the fact that we would look at the Trinity. And so one of the first things is that when we have a look at a lady who was cast out into the desert, she was pregnant, and she was actually on the run, and she was heading back to Egypt. Can anyone think of who I'm talking about? Yes, yes, Hagar. And here she was cast out into the desert because Sarah could not handle her around anymore because she was now pregnant and she'd been cast out into the desert. And in Genesis chapter 16, so just starting at verse 8 if you want to turn there, Genesis 16 and verse 8. So scripture tells us that an angel of the Lord came and ministered to her. And we're talking of Hagar. Verse 8, and he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" I believe she was heading back to Egypt. Hagar was an Egyptian. And she didn't want to be around anymore with what was to become Sarah. But here she was called Sarai and was heading back to Egypt. She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child and you shall bear a son and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction." And in verse 13, it says, "And then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are the God who sees.' For she said, 'Have I also here seen him who sees me?'" Ishmael means the God who hears. But what Sarah did, Hagar said, she called God Elroy. So Elroy is just E, capital E, L, and separate word, R-O-I, which means the God who sees and hears. And when we come before God, one of the things that, I'm not sure what passes through your mind as you pray, but what I have been more conscious of late, is that as I come before God, I'm coming before the God who knows all about me. He sees and he hears. And he's the one that searches our heart. There is nothing hidden in us from God at all. God sees and knows all. But no matter what our circumstances or our situation, he is the one who sees and hears. So our prayer actually becomes a collaboration between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All these things come into play when we are praying. The Lord Jesus, and we sung about it tonight, actually, the Lord Jesus works with us also, for the scripture tells me that he is my advocate. And that's really like being my defense lawyer. So when I'm confessing my sin, and I am coming before the God who sees and hears and searches my heart, the Lord Jesus is the one who is defending me, and the fact that he died on the cross for me and bringing that before our Heavenly Father. He is my advocate. So maybe just to back that up, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." So Jesus engages with us in our prayers. And not only is he my advocate, but he also intercedes for us as well. Let's turn to Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Okay, verse 25 says, "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." So he is always before God interceding on our behalf. So when we're praying, we have the God who sees and hears, who searches my heart. We have Jesus, who is my advocate, my defense lawyer, but he also is interceding for me, bringing my prayers also before the throne of grace. Okay, and Romans 8:34 says, so I'll read it. "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Now, the Holy Spirit then, he also has a part, as we also know, as we pray. So the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter or the paraclete, he comes beside us. He points us to the Lord Jesus always, not to himself, but he points us to the Lord Jesus. But he intercedes for us as well. Now, slightly different to the intercession of the Lord Jesus. It's different because the Holy Spirit is interpreting now the things we say. Now, sometimes we might struggle in prayer. I don't know if ever you do. There can be times when we pray when we can't even put words together, but our heart is aching and we need to go before our God, and it is the Holy Spirit now who will interpret what is that need. So even if sometimes we pray thinking that a certain person is preaching that night and we pray for someone else, that's not a problem for God, because he knows. He has all this happening, and the Holy Spirit intercedes or interprets, but he interprets the intent of our heart. So let's look at Romans 8 and verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So the Spirit, he expresses himself through us to God. So the incredible thing there is that I pray, the Holy Spirit interprets what I'm saying, because what we need to be doing is praying in the will of God. And what can take place is that in Psalm 37:4, it says that God will grant us the desires of our heart. For those desires will be granted if they're in line with the will of God. We can pray outside of what we might think is the will of God. This week, I was having a problem, probably nothing that anyone here ever has, problem with my Wi-Fi at home. And I was working on my message as well, so I thought, I need to do something. And I thought, okay, nothing's too hard for God. And so I said, "Lord, you can control my system. You can bring it all together." And I prayed that he might make it happen, because nothing's too difficult for him. But you know what? Then I thought about the fact that there's a guy at my church who I think he could rewire some things, and I could get the Wi-Fi coming out of an old phone port. So I rang him, and he said, "Ah, yeah." He said, "I'll come out." Now, he's a busy man, but yeah, I'll come out. Fine. Okay. So out he comes. He spent 3 hours at our place. We moved the Wi-Fi and the modem and all that around. He also helped us with our TV. And then at the end, I said, okay, give me your BSB number. And he said, no, it's okay. I said, oh, come on. And he said, no, it's okay. But above all of that, what am I trying to say? I believe that God answered my prayer. So I lifted that prayer to him, but he answered in a different way. So he answered in a better way than what my expectation was. So that's what can happen. The Holy Spirit can interpret for us. Okay. So bringing it to a close, I just want to share one other thing with you. I had a situation where I left a business that I'd worked at, and I got this coupon which enabled me to go and have a flight in a glider. Now, I don't know. I know my brother-in-law, Rob, has jumped out of a plane with a parachute. Now, I'm not going to do that. But this was a glider. And so with the glider, you're right there, and out there is, that's it, you know. And the panel was here, and we were right in front. And so I started chatting with the guy who was taking the plane up. And we were talking beforehand, got in the plane. And it was one of those ones where you go along, take off, and then you cut the engine when you're at the appropriate altitude. So that's what happened. Up we go, engine cuts, and now we're just gliding along. And he said, oh, there's thermal. Now, I was only supposed to be in this plane 15 minutes, I think, and only supposed to be at a certain height. Oh, there's a thermal here. Oh, really? And so he says, oh. So he banks the plane. Well, we now keep going up. So now we're up and we level out. And he said, have you ever flown one of these before? And I said, no. Would you like to fly it? Yeah. So I'm now looking, and he said, now just keep the horizon like a straight line, and that will keep you level. So we're going along. He said, oh, there's another thermal here. Yeah. So he said, now just bank. So obviously I know everything about it now. Just bank the plane slightly to the right. And we bank. Up we go even higher. And we're now up in this thermal. And so finally I came down. I really got my money's worth and above, you know. So it was really something. Now, the key is, was I really qualified to fly that plane? Not at all. Could I fly it again? No. If he was with me. And you know, that's what it is about the Christian life. If we know that the Lord Jesus is with us. Galatians 2:20 says, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And just as I felt very comfortable with my friend who could fly the plane, when I know that I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me, I know that that Jesus indwells me also, and I know that God indwells me because the Bible tells me that. How can that all be? It happens. But I know that when I look for opportunities to share with people, I know that I just have to pray. And what happens? The Trinity springs into action. God who sees and hears. And my advocate who intercedes for me, he is a part of my prayer life. And the Holy Spirit now sees my heart and he interprets what I'm trying to say. And he gets it right when I might get it wrong. But like that pilot, that's how we are. As the Holy Spirit indwells us, we now can be comfortable that we're in good hands and we're in God's hands. But what do we need to do? We need simply to pray. And we need to spend not 5 minutes, we need to spend a lot more time in prayer. So the challenge would be, and I'm not going to ask for hands, but like, do we ever pray for an hour? That would be quite a challenge sometimes with our time frames and that. But that's the sort of thing that the closer we want to get to God, the more time we need to spend in His presence. That's the sort of thing that we need to be doing. And I think that what happens is that we really are praying all through the day. Now, I know through the day. And so why does that happen? It's the Holy Spirit that prompts us. And we have a fellow at work, We have a fellow in our church, and he has been told he has terminal cancer. And I go visit him. But, you know, often through the day, he comes to mind. So I pray for him. And I pray that God would just do a work in him and remove the cancer, but give him some comfort as well. So we should be people that are sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, and that we would respond as He would lead us to pray. Okay, let's just have a word of prayer now. Father, we thank You that the Holy Spirit indwells us. And Lord, as we read Your word, we know that the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God indwells us. And Father, we are a privileged people because we have the ability to come into Your presence at any time. Father, we thank You that we worship a God that nothing is too hard for, that, Lord, You are able to do all things. So, Father, we pray that You would help us to be a praying people, a praying church. And, Father, because of this, may we see that this church would also be a church that would hold forth the Lord Jesus. So, Father, we pray that for each one that is here tonight, that You would bless them, but You would cause us to be a praying people. We pray these things in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen.